Oh, drama. Hey, everyone. This is Dylan with a quick message before we jump into this week's episode with the Broadway starlet of our dreams, Hannah Solo. You might know her from her viral moments, including We Could See Boop, as well as all these comedy musical theater videos that have surely been circulating across your Instagram and TikTok. Hannah is so kind, so funny. And from September 30th through October 12th, she is headlining Oh Mary. So she's been covering Cola Scola, Titus Burgess, Betty Gilpin, Jinx Monsoon. And now it is her moment to stand in the spotlight, and you are not going to want to miss it. We get to chat with Hannah all about being a part of this phenomenon, hashtag not since Hamilton, as well as her life. She is just so charming, so with it, so down to chat and gab and be one of the girls, which always makes it even more fun for Connor and I. Speaking of my twin brother and I'm not sure if you're aware, but we have a Patreon where we release bonus episodes twice a month, as well as welcome our patrons to be a part of our Instagram close friends, where we're spilling a little extra tea and, you know, being gay. It's $5 a month. That's even less than a pumpkin spice latte now that it's that time of year. That means the world to us as we continue to keep this podcast coming every single week. I also want to make sure you're following us on Instagram, if anyone still out there is on X, aka Twitter, and also TikTok, where we are releasing more clips from the episode than you'll see on Instagram. So for the longest time, it was only one video per podcast episode, but now you're getting two or three. So it's extra work for us, but people have been saying they want to see the conversations, how they play out. Connor and I are so grateful for all of the support. We have a phenomenal fall lineup that is continuing with Hannah Solo. Let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain up an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. And I'm also the Dylanette, which is I affectionately called my bachelor party over the weekend. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm standing.
Dylanette is a genius combination of the words Dylan and bachelorette, for those of you who couldn't piece it together. And I don't know who came up with that. I don't remember.
I mean, I did. But here's what I'll say. I think
either
people get it upon hearing it or they don't. And that's just how you differentiate between people in this life.
You know, Dylan, it was kind of the best weekend of my life, which is insane. But I had truly the best time. West Hollywood will never be the same, .. You know, we literally met a reality star
every
single day we were there. Every single day. Wait, let's go from the top. Plain Jane from Drag Race.
And Paul from Big Brother.
From Big Brother. Mm-hmm. As House of Villain season 3 castmates. Okay. Day 2 was... Tom Sandoval. The world will never be the same. He was...
Yeah.
This is tough to say, but he was charming and lovely and warm and...
Those are the true villains. They trick you.
I know. He's also going to be in House of Villains season 3. But Dylan, we also did say hello to one of the Oppenheim group twins from Selling Sunset. It was really hard to distinguish which was which, but they both have stunning veneers. They both have shiny bald heads. They're both shorter than us.
Yeah, they're twins.
Don't know which one, but I did say, hey, twin. Okay, who else?
We met gay porn star Michael Del Rey. If you know, you know. We also met Punky from SNL.
Love Punky. That was amazing. Uh-huh.
And writer Alex English, star comedian.
That was so fun.
And a few drag queens, you know, Eureka O'Hara ended up being there, and Nasha Lopez.
Jessica Wilde.
I forgot about that one. It was so fun.
Oh, and Zach and Jesse from The Valley.
Yeah. A lot of Bravo stuff going on. Ultimately, it was also the best weekend of my life. I had so much fun. I know we planned it together, but all of the extra surprises that you threw in really made it extra special. So I'm very grateful as my twin of honor, all of the hard work you put in.
Period. Oh my God, of course, it was so fun. It was amazing with our friends too. Like, we could have all been fine just hanging out in the house together, honestly. And those were some of my cherished moments. But anyway, we're back in action, baby. And I am so excited about our guest today.
It's a gag.
Wait, the tea of this guest is, I think 3 days before her upcoming residency as Mary Todd was announced, you literally text me and you go, we need her on the pod.
No.
And then we were like, oh, okay, well, it's like Labor Day weekend vibes. Let's wait till after.
And then the news broke.
Boom. Boom. And then shout out to Patrick Foley, friend of the pod and also genius, extraordinaire.
Pulitzer Prize finalist.
Incredible human all around for connecting us. But Dylan, would you please do us the honor of muster up your post-Dylanut strength to read this bio and bring in the toast of the town herself?
Our guest today is currently making her Broadway debut, covering the role of Mary Todd Lincoln in Oh, Mary. While also understudying Mary's chaperone and Bill, the star has made quite the splash at the Lyceum Theater. An alumni of New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, the singer, actor, and writer toured the nation as Gertie Cummings in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, The Sexy One, directed by Daniel Fish. She performed every Monday at the Upright Citizens Brigade with the musical improv team Rumpelteazer and monthly on Maud Night. She has performed her original stand-up characters and songs at Union Hall, Caroline's, Club Cumming, Littlefield, every other basement in New York City and beyond. You've also seen her viral videos and parodies on Instagram because you're surely already following her. In a gaggy turn of events, this star is headlining Oh Mary in the titular role of Mary Todd Lincoln from September 30th through October 12th. What are we doing next month? We could go see Hannah. Please welcome to drama,
Hannah Solo.
Well, well, well. Wait, I'm actually so thrilled. I've just decided that this is sort of an extension of the Dylanette. It hasn't ended yet. We're still going.
We are. Hearing you say Dylanette, I mean, it's one of those insane, like, what's happening moments. It's.
I'm going to use it for the rest of the week.
When Hannah, when you hear Dylanette, do you immediately think, oh, it's Dylan's Bachelorette? Or did it give you pause?
Immediately, I was taken to the Marvelous Wonderettes and thought, was this sort of, I picture you in a diner for some reason, and I'm seeing you performing a medley of 50s pop songs.
Including Mr. Sandman.
Yes, that's the opener.
Okay. I love that so much. Wait, when Connor and I were rattling off all of these C-list celebs that we encountered, did any of them resonate with you?
Okay, I do watch The Traitors. So Tom Sandoval was huge for me to hear. And to hear that he is charming, wow.
And he smelled really good.
I know. Wait, this is so gaggy. He was like, I'm on House of Villains season 3. It's my favorite reality show I've ever filmed. He goes, there was no one like Chrishell on the cast going, we know you're a liar, Tom. And we know you're a cheater because you've cheated before. He like had this canned line about being a cheater from Chrishell that he probably tells all of his, anyone who will listen, actually.
He's still thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of not.
So that was tough.
Before we talk about your upcoming headlining run, we do like to check in with all of our guests, meet them at the moment. Hannah, are you well?
Today, I am well. I woke up early and I took a shower and I was like, wait, I feel rested. What's going on?
Whoa.
And then I sort of did the dishes and made avocado toast. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. So I'm kind of doing amazingly well. And let me tell you, other days you'd ask me and it's like, yeah, I ate some old egg rolls I found rolling around in the bottom of the fridge. I haven't showered in days, but here we are doing well.
It's amazing when you wake up, it's like before 10 a.m. So there's a whole other world in life out there.
And you go outside and you're like, this is what it's like. The air feels different. The sounds are different.
Oh yeah, birds are definitely chirping.
Correct.
Wait, you know what's so random? I ate Trader Joe's egg rolls for lunch minutes before talking to you.
Okay.
And I've never bought those before. So it's so weird that you mention egg rolls.
I'm scared of the connection.
Mr. Goldstone.
Have an egg roll, Mr. Goldstone.
That's right.
Period.
Well, Hannah, I'm so excited to chat with you. I am so excited for this moment because I feel like your star and your profile have continued to rise over this last year being in such a buzzy show. And then to hear that you're going to be going on for weeks in this headliner run is just so incredible. I'm so happy for you.
They honestly could have been like, oh no, we're bringing in someone else for 2 weeks, but they have faith in you. They have faith in the piece. And that's incredible producing and creation of art.
I'm truly sort of both baffled and honored and so grateful that I'm getting this chance to do the show for 2 weeks. It never was a thought that crossed my mind that this was going to happen. And of course you have like little, you know, understudy fantasies of like, well, what if someone saw me and they put me in the big movies or whatever. And it's like, this is something that I was always like, you know, that's never going to happen. That's okay. My job is to be an understudy and I'm good at my job and I do it. And like, I'm just sort of like, what is going on?
How did that go? Did they call you and they're like, so listen, here's what's happening? Or was it like communicated through your like representation?
It was communicated through my agent and my manager, who I love. And they called me and they were like, are you sitting down? No, actually, I'm outside of Fox News. And I was walking by Fox News and they had had like a Labor Day display. No. Wait, I always get Labor Day and Memorial Day mixed up. And for that, I am sorry. Whatever it was, they had a big sand art display that was a literal sand castle of the Lincoln Memorial. So it was Lincoln made out of sand that I'm making direct eye contact with as my agent is like, they want you to play Mary for 2 weeks.
Now that's a connection.
So the connection, exactly. And I'm just so thrilled and out of my mind walking on cloud nine, cloud 10, 11, 12.
Oh my God. Well, I can only imagine. I mean, I know that you've been with the project for a while now. You were part of it at the Lortel when it was off Broadway.
Yeah.
What about pre-Lortel?
So I was never a part of the like pre-reading that happened. I stumbled my way in day one of the Lucille Lortel and was just like, this is going to be such an amazing like 10-week job, because at the time it was going to be just like a little run. And then we just kept extending and extending. And then we went to Broadway and then Broadway kept extending. And it was like, what is happening?
No, crazy. I feel like it's been a really long time since we've seen a theatrical cultural sensation like this, you know? I mean, it's
Oh my God.
probably interesting to be in it. Maybe hashtag not since Hamilton. Have we seen something like this in the Eye of the Hurricane, Lin-Manuel vibes?
I mean, what's really truly astounding is that now going to the stage door and meeting people that are like, we are here celebrating our anniversary. We came from Michigan. And it's just like a good old straight couple in their 20s. And I'm like, I don't know how you ended up here. And they loved it. It's like, how incredible that night one of the Lortel, Sam, our director, was like, there are too many gay people here. And then now it's just like tourists and people that heard the show was funny and showed up not even knowing about it.
Wow. And I think it's a combination of things for sure, but at the heart of it, I think we all need a giggle right now.
Really need a giggle. And the show is just so funny. And people who don't think it's funny, I actually think they need medical attention. I'm sorry.
We'll send them to the pit.
Yes, Noah Wiley, stat.
I need him to be sent to me as well, but maybe we'll talk about that off pod.
Home visit. Yeah,
Yes, girl.
absolutely.
So, Hannah, are you an in-building cover? Like, are you have to be there every single performance?
Babe, I am haunting those halls. I am there every day. I've got my own dressing room, which is truly unbelievable. I have decorated it at this point. It's been, what, I think a year on Broadway. And more is more, sort of my aesthetic. So I've got everything I could ever need in there. And I'm really just kind of hanging out, gabbing, doing crafts. I'm kind of responsible for like the wall art in the hallways. I'm just really there.
I love that so much. I mean, that's probably really a rare experience too, to have your own dressing room.
No, seriously, Sam was like, you know that this is not normal, right? Like, you're making your Broadway debut as the titular role in the play. And as an understudy, you're not like, you know, ensemble on the turntable number five. No shade to the turntable, to the ensemble. Y'all are doing the work out here. But like, truly, I'm still baffled. And I'm like, y'all are paying me to do this? Okay. If I can get away with it a little longer.
Well, I mean, yeah, now it's extended through July.
Through July?
2026.
Holy crap. I'm
Insane.
gagged.
Gagged.
Congratulations. It's truly so amazing to see. And I love whenever you do go on, the hype that is happening on social media just blows my mind. It's like How do you even process all of that, Hannah?
I actually can't, because the second that I start to try and process it, I am full crying 7 hours. I think I've almost like tried to protect myself in a little way from feeling the full feelings of it, because I would disintegrate into the ground. But I'm just genuinely so moved, and like to see people I don't know coming to see the show and celebrating it. I'm just so grateful that people give me a chance. And, you know, being an understudy is really hard. And I feel so lucky that people have seen me for who I am. And I know that that's not a given. I truly, like, I still am just like, what is going on? I feel like I keep saying that, but I wake up and I'm like, wait, what?
Mary Todd is also a woman who just wants to be seen for who she
It's
is.
true. She does. She has big dreams and she doesn't know what to do with them. And I feel like I, not to be truly so trite in that way, but I f have felt that way for a long time, you know? I have so much inside, if only someone would let it out.
Totally. Now, when you appeared on that first day at the Lortel, had you ever, like,
Yes.
did you expect what Cole was about to do with the character?
No, oh my gosh. I read the play and I was like, this is so hilarious. And also, they had sent us, I believe, I don't know if it was, I think part of it was fake because they didn't want to include spoilers.
Oh, fun.
And then also, Cole had rewritten things and rewrote things in the room as we were rehearsing it for the Lortel. But I don't think I fully understood what was going to happen. And then day one, just hearing the first table read, it's the funniest play in the world. We were losing our minds. I think everyone was kind of looking around like, oh my gosh, like this is something. And I granted, I think like we being all of us, but mostly Sam and Cole and the onstage cast, like, you know, it was so much just about making each other laugh and like supporting the text and making the best play. We weren't like thinking about the audience. And then to have reaction the first night of like, wait, other people think this is funny too? It's just been surprise after surprise.
Wow. Now, when you went on for the first time as Mary, was it a
Yeah.
pre-scheduled date?
It was. I had, I think, maybe 2 months' notice from Cole. So I knew that I had 2 days that I was going on. So I had a lot of time to think about it.
You know, I feel like I would get in my head about that and rather just like go on adrenaline mode in like a surprise type of way. Has that happened too, though, where it's been like a last minute?
Yeah, I think the latest notice I've had is like at half hour, which I kind of like in the way that you're saying, where it's just like, all right, well, let me put my wig on and go on stage. I can't think about anything else. The 2 months was good because I was able to invite a lot of people, and my parents flew out from California, which was awesome. But I definitely had days leading up to it where I was like, okay, what if my lifelong dream comes true in front of every person I know in my life and turns out I can't do it and I'm bad? Then what? And thankfully that didn't happen.
Yeah. Do you have any memories from that absolute debut night?
Oh my gosh. I remember standing behind the doors and just like being like, don't cry, just say your lines, just go out there and say your lines, and opening the doors and getting entrance applause and being like, oh my God, I didn't even anticipate that there would be entrance applause. And so then being like, what do I do? Oh, I'll just pretend to look at the couch. Like, did not foresee that. And then the show goes by so quickly that it's like, before you know it, it's over. And then coming, I remember coming downstairs, and weirdly, the first person I saw was Betty Gilpin, and I had never met her before, and she was crying, and I was crying, and we were just like, ah. And then I saw my whole family. It just was like truly one of the best nights of my life, which you would hope for. And you have this fear of like, well, what if it's not? And what if things go wrong? That's, you know, anxiety,
Sure.
and we can talk about that with my therapist. But
Well,
it all just went well, which is amazing.
Yeah, you were ready at that point. Now, was Betty, did you know that she was going to be taking over? Did she know?
We both knew at the time, but I don't think it had been announced yet.
Okay.
So we were just like, it's you. And Betty is just such a wonderful person and so kind. And I really just love her so much. And it's funny that my first memory of coming down the stairs is just seeing her with eyes wide.
You passed the torch in a way in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, it is really crazy to think that, like, technically, I am the second person to ever perform the part and the first person outside of Cole to do it, which is mind-blowing, and I'm like so honored to say that. And I really do try to keep Cole's legacy alive when I go on.
We saw Cole and then we saw Betty. Hopefully, we'll be able to see you. And
Yeah.
I really feel that each Mary Todd brings their own sensibility to the role, but I'm sure that Cole's the essence is there, within the character.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've been thinking about it a little bit more lately. I have seen Cole do it hundreds of times. I was in the room as Cole was making it and crafting it. And so when I was learning the part, I was essentially learning it from Cole's prototype. And also at that point, it was like, if I ever had to go on, it was like, just do what Cole's doing. Like, I don't want to mess up the rhythm of the show. And now I'm sort of able to find my own version of Mary that is definitely still in the style of Cole. And I feel like there are jokes that Cole did that it's like, that's the perfect version of that. I don't need to fuck with that.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy to be able to do it now because I've done it like 17 times, I think, where as I do it each time, I feel like I'm able to bring more of myself into it, and it's becoming more my version of who Mary is as me.
And that's so cool because you're freaking hysterical. And just on Instagram, the videos, the parodies, the voices that you use,
Enjoy
I mean,
this.
you are singular,
Oh
mama.
my gosh, thank you. I'm basically my ethos is like, if I think something is dumb, then I'm gonna post it.
That's what social media f should be
Yeah.
for. Make it fun again,
Make social media fun again. Hashtag not since Hamilton. Hashtag make social media fun again.
it's so funny. We went to college and like, okay, we're just gonna like come right out and say it. 2012 to 2016 vibes.
Okay.
It was like where the Benito Skinner overcompensating show, it was like kind of, it felt like that era where like everything was fun, social media was fun. And we were talking about it with our friends at the Dillonette about how we used to just like, it was so different. Instagram stories didn't exist. I don't even think Instagram DMs existed. People were just posting for their networks and following celebrities. But it's just so.
Yeah, that is so crazy now that you say that. I'm like, wait, Instagram DMs didn't
Right.
exist. It was just like, I'm gonna post a photo of me on vacation with my family in Lake Tahoe.
Literally.
And I'm like, ooh, I got 10 likes.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you remember it would turn into like a number after like 11 or 12 people liked it? And so if you
Yes.
didn't have the certain number, we used to call our friend the 11th light or something like
Yeah.
that. Our friend Anthony, we used to joke about that. We're like, will you please be my
You
11th
go hit
light?
that, please.
Yeah.
We've come so far. And most days I'm like, well, I vacillate between two things. One, I'll see like an incredible video of a squirrel learning how to dance, and I'll be like, the internet is incredible. Thank goodness for this. And then I'll see something horrible and I'll be like, we actually need to shut it down. I
Right.
think it's possible that we might need to turn it off, even for just a few days, see what happens.
I wish it would have happened over the last few days, to be fair.
That
So,
was sort of like, let's just turn it off. I actually
yeah.
think we could just maybe Verizon says, like, oops, flip a switch. And then we all go outside and we read a book and eat a spaghetti. I don't know.
Eat a spaghetti. I love when you make something singular in that way. It's very funny to me.
Oh gosh. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know anything. I have a BFA in drama.
Well, you came to the right place for the drama.
Exactly. That's why I'm
Yeah.
here. This is an intervention.
Yeah.
Hannah, I am curious. You mentioned that you were having this dream come true when you made your Broadway debut last year, and then you have all these big dreams inside of you. But I want to go back to the moment you realized you had all of this inside you. We call it Ring of Keys because we borrow from the masterwork that is Fun Home, about a moment of recognition. Maybe you were watching something, participating in something, or like just heard a song in the backseat of a car and you're like, damn, I got to be a part of that. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment that made you want to dive into a life in the arts?
I feel like I have actually had a lot of Ring of Keys moments, and my parents did a really good job of exposing me to theater and musical theater at a young age. But I was struck by this memory I have of waiting outside of the Orange County Performing Arts Center to get front row rush tickets to see Rent. I was probably like 15, I don't know, and got my tickets, sat in like the front row and was making direct eye contact with the touring company of Rent. And I was obsessed. I bought the, what do you call it? Like, you know, when they would make those like special edition, like librettos, and I would make my family sit on the couch and I would perform all of the parts of Rent. Desperate to play Mark, still would love to.
Honestly, why the hell not though, you know?
Why the hell not? I think just being able to see live theater as a kid was such a light bulb moment for me of just like, this is possible. This seems like such a magical way of living. And unfortunately, that's what got me hooked. Wish it had been, you know, technology. I don't know, like made an app or something, but
it was the Tango Maureen, baby.
What's the Tango Maureen? Oh my gosh. My parents took me to see like Hair at the local college. I saw Rocky Horror with my dad and my sister when we were absolutely way too young. But I'm fine. Look at me. Like, I survived and we had a great time.
I love that so much. That's that. I think that is really important that your parents were able to encourage it as well.
Oh my gosh, they were the ones who were like, we're going to Los Angeles, we're going to the Pantages Theater, and we're seeing Damn Yankees. And I was like, okay, sure.
Is there like a region, like a touring house in Orange County though? Or is what you'd have to go up to the Pantages?
Well, there is an Orange County Performing Arts Center, but like the big, big shows would go to LA. And my grandma lived in Westwood, so she would take us to the Pantages or the Amundsen, and we would go with all of my cousins. And it would be like a special like night out where you put on like your fancy girl dress, and we got to go to dinner at the Japanese restaurant and go see Cats.
I want to do all of that.
Honestly, my dream date. Cute.
Like, what could be better?
I remember Wicked had like a long sit down in LA during a pivotal period in my life.
Definitely. Yeah. I saw Wicked in LA.
Yeah. It was like, I know Eden Espinosa did it. I'm sure.
Megan Hilty did it.
Megan Hilty. Yeah.
Wait, can I say, I just thought of another Ring of Keys moment. Can I say it?
Oh yeah.
I saw Phantom of the Opera in San Francisco when I was 10 years old. I don't exactly remember how, but I was at the stage door with my mom. The person who I believe was playing Christine didn't know us, was a stranger, invited us backstage to come look at her costumes in the show. She took us to her dressing room, and then they showed me the chandelier being lifted back up into the ceiling.
That was the original masquerade, Mama.
Literally, I was there. Wow. Can you believe, fully immersive experience? This woman, bless her, it's her fault.
So it's actually her. Wow. Okay, so then you loved attending theatrical productions, but did you start performing in any?
I went to an arts high school. I auditioned to be in the Musical Theater Conservatory. Didn't get in. Sang.
Drama.
You Can't Get a Man with a Gun. Perhaps too controversial. I don't know. They didn't enjoy it. I got into the Writing Conservatory. And so for a full year, I was in the Writing Conservatory, writing what I now know to be sketch comedy. But at the time, everyone was just like, what are you doing? You're a freak. They were writing poetry. And I was like, I need two volunteers for you to help me read this. But so then I auditioned again and I got into the Musical Theater Conservatory. And so from 8th grade to 12th grade, I studied musical theater at the Orange County High School of the Arts.
Wow.
What were some of the greatest hits of your onstage performances in those 5 years?
That's a great question. And even then, I was giving character actress vibes. We gotta be real. So I longed to be the star of the show, but I was playing sort of old matron hen woman in Honk. I played Big Julie in Guys and Dolls, which I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I wanted to play Adelaide. And then the director was like, I have an idea that I think will really challenge you as an actor. And I was cast as Big Julie, the Chicago businessman gangster. I had rehearsals with all the guys. It was just me and literally like 10 16-year-old boys who like showed me what porn was. And like it was truly eye-opening. I taped down my chest with an ace bandage every night. I was committed to the role.
I'm so gagged right now. I'm like losing it at all of your lore, Hannah.
There is a lot of lore, and this is part of this. I'm writing a one-woman show about this that's called Musical Theater Hell Girl, that is like essentially about this, how I have been sort of pushed gently into character actress land, and is character actorness thrust upon us, or are we born this way?
Whoa, that's amazing.
Questions on the pod.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't the star of my high school. Like, I didn't show up to college being like, watch out. I was sort of like, whoa, I got in. This is crazy. I hope no one finds out.
And that community that you formed at Tisch, it seems to be like a tight-knit crew to this day that have all sort of paved their way in the theater community.
Kind of amazing. I mean, to go from doing 9 a.m. ballet in this random building with holes in the ceiling, surely we all have asbestos, to all of us like now, I'm just so proud of my friends, and I'm so happy to still be friends with so many of those same people. I mean, fucking Patrick, it's like the things that Patrick and I did in college were ultimately like seeds of what was to be. It's like, yeah, we were doing like character work and voices, but we didn't know what it was at the time. And we just had to like have a few more years to figure out who we were and what that was.
Wow.
That's really special. When you were in college, because you strike me as a true lover of musical theater, despite maybe it, being our own worst enemy at times. Were there shows that you were like trying to rush to go to the matinee during instead of class? Like, what was that era like for you? Because you seem like a true fan of the art as well.
I really am. In my core, I am a musical theater girly. My freshman year, I saw 50 shows. I put each playbill on my wall over my bed. And at the time, I mean, tickets were like $25. I was showing up to the box office being like, hey, can I see the show? It's in an hour. Do you have anything? And they were like, sure, $25 cash. So I was just seeing everything and anything that I could get my hands onto. I mean, and that era was like so insane. I saw Hair so many times. I mean, Spring Awakening was like huge. We all went to the open call for Hair and Spring Awakening. I just remember being like, I can't believe I get to go see all of these things. I saw this play, what was it called? Oh my gosh, it was at Roundabout. It was by David Rabe. One of his Vietnam War plays, I can't remember the title of it, but I just remember being like so shaken by it. I felt like I was gonna throw up in the theater, and I was like, this is so cool.
A Vietnam War story brings a misty glisten to my eye. So,
Absolutely.
also, when you said Spring Awakening, I started disassociating, thinking about John, Leah, and Johnny doing Mary, Mary's teacher, and Mary's husband.
Okay, wait, genius.
But always keep them guessing. You don't know which is going to play which. You know what I mean?
That's true. I can kind of rotate and feel like we've got options.
We do. I feel like Groff should do O'Mary in some capacity. That would be kind of amazing.
That would be amazing.
Every gay man is a casting director, but I am curious,
I
Hannah,
know.
have you had any thoughts about like dream co-stars? Because you mean got Kumail Nanjiani in there now. Like there's so many amazing people.
Michael Urie, who I think Michael could do Mary. I was kind of gagged when they're like, oh, he's Mary's teacher. I was like, he's not Mary?
He's so good. He can do anything. He's just so nice. I mean, they all are so good and so nice. And it's like so silly to just be backstage being like, we're doing the little show. And then I'm like, wait, Michael has to leave because he has to go to the Emmys? Okay. Like, Really bonkers. Henry, our casting director, has been doing such an amazing job casting this show. And what is so amazing about the show is that you can have so many different possibilities. And like the show and the writing is so good that it can make space for different kinds of personalities and performances. I mean, recently people have been really gung-ho about the Muppets. And I'm saying, let's fucking go. Let's go whole hog, all Muppets.
Oh wow. No, like Michael Caine human.
Human is Mary, sorry, Miss Piggy, but everyone else is a Muppet.
Think that's the correct.
You could have Sam the Bald Eagle be Lincoln.
Good. Very good.
You could have, well, I guess Kermit kind of has to be Mary's teacher, maybe.
Yeah, that feels right.
I want to include Miss Piggy. I guess she could be Mary's chaperone,
I like that.
right?
That's a really good idea. Wait, because you also understudy Mary Chaperone too. Have
Yeah.
you gone on for her much?
I went on for her twice off Broadway and once recently on Broadway. Bianca Lee, who originated the role, never missed a performance. She did like 400 and something performances.
Whoa.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty wild.
Dedicated to the craft.
Absolutely.
So was that a pre-scheduled? Because if knowing that Bianca was so dedicated, are you brushing up on that material in anticipation of the possibility of it happening at that point?
To be honest with Bianca, I was a little bit like, I know my diva is gonna just go even in sickness and in health, in rain or in shine. So I was like never expecting to go on for that. And I just went out because Jen Harris, who currently is playing Mary Chaperone, had a conflict. So I knew in advance for that and I was able to prepare. But I think people expect us to be in rehearsal more than we actually are. Scheduled rehearsal, it's like once a month. So most of the rehearsing is really on your own and up to your own responsibility.
Wow, that's very interesting. And when the new Mary comes in, is the Mary kind of in an isolated way? And then there's like a put in?
It depends, but because we have been putting in multiple new people at once, I think it's actually been good for them because they get to all rehearse together. So like Kumail and Yuri and Jen and Jinx all rehearsed together for 2 weeks. And Michael only had 1 week. I hope I'm allowed to say that, but insane. Only 1 week.
That's crazy. So you mentioned that you're writing a solo show. Can
Yeah.
you say the title one more time?
It's called Musical Theater Hell Girl, and it asks the question, did musical theater make me a monster?
Oh my gosh. Wait, yeah, didn't you perform it like last month?
I've done it a few times at the Upright Citizens Brigade. It's at this point, I've got an hour and I'm still tinkering with it, but it's been going really well, and it's been a fun challenge to do a solo show. And I get so nervous before it, and every time we do it, I'm like, I'm gonna cancel it, I'm gonna cancel it. And then my accompanist, Eric, is always like, you have been on Broadway. Why are you nervous for this? Like, just try and have fun. I'm gonna have trying to have fun. You trying to have fun. I'm like, okay, you're right. Yes. I think because it's so personal, I'm just like so panicked about it for some reason. But it's been really fun.
That makes sense because you're used to playing characters, and then when you have to
Totally.
be yourself, it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah. Don't worry, there's characters in it. I
Oh, girl.
I've gotta throw in some voices.
You mentioned earlier about like the whole character actress thing. Do you feel like what is the best character actress role that you feel is out there?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. Well, I feel like it's sort of controversial because I believe that my dream is to play Adelaide in Guys and Dolls. And I feel like a lot of times she can skew dancer, but I believe at her core she is character actress. Faith Prince is a character actress. We
Yes. Period.
get back to the Faith Prince. Similarly with like Audrey in Little Shop. I would love to play Audrey in Little Shop. And it's like we need to push her into the character actress spectrum. She's a gorgeous gal, tits up, but also she's a character actress.
That feels like gospel to me. I'm aligned.
I'm glad that we're aligned about
Those are
this.
such good choices. I like what you're saying about pushing these like leading lady roles back to where they belong for these singular stars to get to do them, these gals to really make an imprint with their unique touch.
Right? I feel like I can't wait until I'm 70 to play Dolly, you know? Like, we gotta have something in the meantime.
Right. So when can we see your solo show again? Do you have any dates on the books?
Well, I need to respond to an email. So hopefully soon. Check my Instagram. Once I send that email, I'll be letting people know. I'm a little bit behind right now, and I want to publicly apologize to everyone that I owe a response to.
You're on Broadway. I think people will understand, and especially with what you got coming up.
Broadway is a good excuse. It's like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I just, the show.
Oh my God, you're so funny. Wait, I have to ask you about this viral moment, this We Could See Boob.
Crazy.
Could you have ever imagined the way it would catch on?
Never. And this is the thing that's so crazy, is that I have been making videos for so long. If you scroll back, there's a lot of material we are working with there. And so, like, I really just learned that it doesn't matter, just post it. And if it doesn't get views, whatever, on to the next one. And so, when that hit, I was like, wait, what? This is the thing? It's mind blowing. And like, there were people at the stage door of O'Mary screaming, we could see Boop. When I left, I signed Boop playbills. Like, what?
Think you gave them a necessary ticket boost.
I mean, I loved the show. I had such a good time. I was able to go and like actually experience it because I made the video before I had even seen it and suddenly became a spokesperson for it. And honestly, my only regret is that I wish I could have done it for other shows too. Like, I was just like, how do I create a viral sound for Real Women Have Curves? Like, fuck, we need to get people seeing this too. And oh my God, and Dead Outlaw. It was just like, ugh, it was such a season of shows that I was like, I wish I could do something. I don't know. It's just, I'm so happy that people were like engaging with Boop because of the sound.
Isn't that
Yeah, that's
wild?
so
Like the kind
cool.
of culture we have now. It's like how on TikTok songs will be go to number one because they're a TikTok sound, these pop songs. It's pretty wild.
It's sort of insane. And obviously, I have thoughts about like, I think art is subjective. And I think you run the risk with TikTok of people telling you how you're supposed to feel about a certain thing, when in reality, art is there so you can form your own opinion about it. And so you have people on TikTok being like, don't see this show, it's bad. But maybe it was bad to you. It doesn't mean everyone else is going to think it's bad.
I completely agree with you because there have been a few experiences in the last Broadway season or two. I won't say specifically because Connor and I really do just like to preach to love what you love unabashedly and,
Don't yuck someone else's yum.
yeah, where we've seen shows and we had been told, oof. Oof. And then we see it and we look at each other, we're like, we loved that. We
Yeah.
absolutely loved it. So just go to kick a chance. You never know.
Chance. It's so true. And I know that it's expensive and sometimes people don't want to take a chance because of the money, and I totally get that. But oh gosh, there's just so much good stuff out there if you're willing to like look and try it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine people were taking a chance on O'Mary in the beginning too. So.
100%. And I feel like still there's still people that it's amazing that you don't really know about the show, but you're gonna go because you heard it was funny. And you take a chance and it is great. And if you didn't, that's okay too.
You strike me as just like Connor and I, where like we always kind of are in the know about what shows are and what's happening, but it's funny to put your mind into like the ticket buying consumer who just maybe picks one show a trip or a year or whatever when they see it to be like, what is enticing someone to go see something?
Broadway is sort of insane to me, and I'm learning so much about commercial theater while being in O'Mary, and I still don't really understand it at all. And also the celebrity of it all is like sort of scary in different ways, and we can get into that another time. But I don't know. I guess, wait, actually, I think about like when I was a kid coming to the New York. And how did we all find out what shows to see? It was like you watched the Tonys, or you like Ghostlight Records was putting out the soundtrack. And so you listened to the soundtrack, and then it was like, well, I want to go see this in person. Weirdly, I feel like my dad was like somehow researching. Like, I just remember my dad being like, we're going to see this show called In the Heights, and us being like, what are you talking about? We've never heard of that. And then we went, and I just remember sobbing, crying, being like, I want to do that so bad.
In the Heights is one of the best musicals of all time.
Oh my gosh, so good.
I love it. Oh my God, Hannah, I feel like we could keep talking to you forever and ever and ever. And you've got so much to give. People are going to have to check out your solo show when it comes back, when once
Yes.
that email is responded to. And they're going to have
Yes.
to see you in Oh Mary. Obviously, they're going to be obsessed with and follow you after this episode. But before we say goodbye, we do always end with a dose of drama. This is like a little pop culture musing, a recommendation, something on your mind that we leave the listeners with. And I'm going to start it off today because last night was the Primetime Emmy Awards. And I love television so much. There's actually too much of it. And then they only decide to recognize like four shows the whole time. But I happen to have loved the studio and the pit. So I wasn't too mad at some of the winners this year. But I'm kind of gagged that Carrie Coon didn't win for The White Lotus. I'm not saying I would have picked her over Parker Posey or over Catherine Lanasso, who did win for The Pitt, or even any of the other great gals in there. But this is just a thought about Carrie Coon, who has given us so much. She's been nominated for, I think, three Emmys at this point and a Tony, and she's always giving. She's always giving. So I'm wondering if maybe I should start my early Emmy campaign for Carrie Coon for The Gilded Age season three, especially for that final moment, which IYKYK, when she's staring out the window, blah, blah, blah. We've all seen it. If we haven't, we have to go watch it. So I think I'm rooting for her to win the Emmy next September already.
100%. Carrie Coon, if you're listening, I love you. Please come see Oh Mary.
Yes, she might. She's going to be in a play this spring.
Right? I had the thought where I was like, oh.
Oh, she's coming.
Her and Tracy. Yep, they're going to come together for sure.
They're coming. Anyway, go Carrie Coon. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. It's not Emmys related because I didn't watch the entire ceremony, but
Okay, same.
I need to plug another podcast, which is so brave of me to do, but I will say it's not currently airing anymore. It ran for three seasons. It was called Dead Eyes. Hannah, have
Of
you heard of the Dead Eyes podcast?
Connor Ratliff, an incredible performer and improviser, so funny.
So funny. And he really took the podcast genre and put it on its head with this sort of exploration of why he was fired by Tom Hanks for having dead eyes in an episode of Band of Brothers in a probably 15-second scene that seemed to have sort of sent a ripple effect through his career. The podcast is so funny and interesting. You'll hear so many familiar voices throughout, and it has a very, very satisfying ending. And I really recommend it if you're going on a long car ride or like to take daily walks. Now, Hannah,
It's my turn.
it's time.
do you have a dose of drama?
Okay, hot tip. I recently got the Criterion Collection app, and this has been a game changer for me. I'm trying to sort of culturally tap into movies I missed and movies that I'm like, I know that I should have seen that. I gotta get studying and learning. And so I've been watching a lot of movies on the Criterion Collection app, and they have like little playlists and stuff where it'll be like screwball comedies from the 1940s and film noir, and like, oh, this is a collection of movies from Pedro Almodovar or whatever. And so recently I watched Crossing Delancey, which was a movie I had never seen before, but I love the movie Moonstruck, and I'm sort of into movies where 90% of the cast are character actors and they think they're starring in the movie, but they only have one scene. So
Delicious.
I highly recommend if you're looking for a movie fix.
Would I know any of the actors in it?
In Crossing Delancey, the main character was Amy Irving, and I felt like there was another celebrity in it, but maybe there wasn't. And hey, that's okay. We used to make movies with just regular people. Okay. And Rosemary Harris.
Oh, great.
Oh.
Love.
Queen.
I'm obsessed with the idea of a Criterion app. It sounds like it's organized better than the Letterboxd app, so I'll have to download that.
Really organized so well.
I appreciate the recommendation. And Hannah, you are such a darn delight. This was so much fun.
I would stay for 1,000 more hours. We're forcing ourselves to leave.
Yes. Now, I'm wishing you all the best. from September 30th through October 12th. Everyone needs to rush, rush, rush to the Lyceum to see you in the titular role of Mary Todd Lincoln. And of course, needs to follow you. It's at Baby Magoo.
Yeah. Everyone's thinking, like, what does that mean? And I don't know. But it is Baby Magoo, and that's Baby MCGOO. I don't know.
All right. Listen, while everyone's following Baby Magoo, they got to follow at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. Thank you again, Hannah. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.